Thanks for joining us for Voice of the Public on KRWG. I'm Samantha Sonner, and we are joined by the Democratic candidate for Senate District 36 here in Las Cruces, Jeff Steinborn. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure. Good afternoon.
You know, maybe introduce yourself a little for people who may not know who you are.
Sure. I am Jeff Steinborn, current state representative here in Doñana County, running for the state Senate for Senate District 36, which is central Las Cruces from Idaho north all the way to the Sierra County line.
Okay, great. So your opponent declined to attend today's interview, but we did do an interview with him earlier in the week. Your opponent is the incumbent Senator Lee Cotter. We are going to play a portion of that interview now. If you want to call in and ask Jeff a question, the number is 575-646-2212. We are also taking questions on social media and Facebook and Twitter. How do you think looking at this election now that the state needs to start raising more revenue or different ways the state could raise revenue?
Well, see, one of the inconsistencies is I'm a Republican. So I believe that the state doesn't have a revenue problem. It has a business activity problem, but it also has a spending problem. And so raising revenue would be not on my list at all. So it depends on the philosophy of the listener as to which is better. We have chosen to spend about 2 or 3% more than we forecasted each year for the last 5 or 6 years. And had we spent them on one-time projects instead of ongoing repetitive spending, the state would be in great shape. And frankly, several other states do a similar thing where they don't spend all the money they have. However, New Mexico has been run by Democrats for a long time. And so they spend pretty much everything they bring in. And that's pretty much where we are.
What are the ways that the state can work to increase economic development and help business grow in the state?
Well, the New Mexico Senate has been controlled for 85 years or more by Democrats. We have a philosophy that nonprofits are really, really good, and we like them. And for-profits, they're not so good. We need to regulate them. We need to tax them. Well, anything you regulate and tax, you get less of, and right now we have a jobs problem. We have a bad economy. We're likely to be in a recession in a couple of years, based on history and my study of that. If we don't make a change, you know, Arizona and New Mexico became a state the same year. Arizona has very, very little oil and gas. I don't know about copper and I don't know about coal, but we have a lot of natural resources. And Arizona seems to have won the race. They have 2 or 3, 4 times as many people. Per person. So in general, it's public policy. Are we going to attract business? Are we going to attract people?
One of the other issues that came up in the special session and is now going to be an election issue is obviously the death penalty bill. Mm-hmm. I know you had sent out a campaign mailer on this as well.
I doubt you live in my district, so it's unlikely you got it firsthand. Yes, one of the problems we have in New Mexico is crime. And I can remember, you know, my job in life is to rent apartments. I own and operate apartments. And I had a gentleman sitting in the office talking about his brother. And he had just moved from Arizona because his prison term in Arizona was really, really hard time. And he was not going to live in Arizona anymore because it was really difficult to be in a Maricopa County jail. So where are we? Is it a crime problem? Is it an enforcement problem? Is it a change in enforcement problem? Don't know. But we didn't have this big a problem, certainly not in Albuquerque. prior to repealing the death penalty?
Okay, you know, there was a lot of controversy over the way the death penalty bill was handled during the special session. A lot of people thought that wasn't the place to discuss it or the time to discuss it. You know, what is your opinion on that?
Well, any time that we make our citizens safer is a good time. And the fact that we haven't been able to get any kind of crime legislation through the legislature for a really long time, except for the wrong kind when we repeal it, it's probably always time.
So that was a little bit of our an excerpt of our interview with Senator Lee Cotter. The full interview is on our website, krwg.org, and we are joined by Jeff Steinborn. You can call in and ask questions at 575-646-2212. That's 575-646-2212. We're also taking questions on social media. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter to ask those questions. So we started in that interview a little bit with the budget crisis that the state is in and the recent legislative session. How are some of the ways that you think that we could repair that budget crisis?
Sure. We clearly, I mean, our state gets so much revenue from oil and gas. And with the low prices of those commodities, it's clearly taken a toll on our budget. There's no question about it. But when Lee Cotter says we don't have a revenue problem, I guess he's not aware of the fact that New Mexico has given out $1 billion in special interest tax breaks. And when we talk about what we do to move forward, you know, frankly, we need elected officials. And what I intend to do as a state senator next year is put our kids and our schools and our community and our health care as a priority over continued handouts that frankly, some of which aren't creating any jobs in New Mexico. We need to be smart about the incentives that we give in our state. And so I kind of take offense when he says we have a spending problem and that the increases in our spending on recurring revenue, oh, by the way, for things like teacher salaries, that's where our problem is. No, it is certainly that our revenues have gone down from oil and gas, $1 billion in handouts. So we need to address that. And to say that we just have a spending problem, I guess Cotter has no problem with the fact that we've just cut higher education another 5%, and our university is struggling every day with, do they raise tuition or do they fire more teachers? Or do we cut health services for students? Does the Attorney General's office, who they just cut, and I guess he voted to cut, I certainly didn't, do they cut their crimes unit for people that have been afflicted by rape and other horrible crimes? So believe me, we need to fund these things, and we need to deal with the revenue issue in a balanced way. And clearly we have a huge fundamental difference between Lee Cotter and myself and how we do that and where we'll prioritize New Mexicans in that.
Okay, again, that number to call is 575-646-2212 if you have a question for the Democratic candidate for Senator for New Mexico District 36, Jeff Steinborn. And, you know, part of that revenue problem is that there are declining prices for oil and gas throughout New Mexico. New Mexico has been very dependent on those two industries. You know, how do you get away from being so dependent on that as well as the federal government?
So it is crucially important that we continue to grow our economy in New Mexico. We always say that it's true. New Mexico is kind of unique amongst a lot of states in that we get more federal dollars per citizen per our state per capita than most states. And so as the federal government has reduced their size over the last few years through defense spending, through the national labs, we've experienced a disproportionate effect relative to our whole economy and our whole budget. And part of that is, you know, just a contracting of the dollars flowing into the state. And so it's not just oil and gas, it's that too. And how we make up the difference is creating new industries like solar, that Lee Cotter voted against extending the solar tax credit made no sense. This is an industry that's creating jobs. We obviously have this free renewable resource called the sun, and New Mexico should be taking much bigger advantage of it. That's one industry we can grow and become an exporter. You know, our border, Santa Teresa, that I've been a very strong supporter of and am proud to be supporting this campaign by border businesses that are related in trying to grow that part of our county. Film and media, it's a booming industry in the state that I've taken a leadership role in trying to create jobs in Doñana County. So we just need to, and you know, the governor in the past few days has talked about the growth of tourism in our state. And unfortunately, this last budget, what do? We cut the tourism industry, we cut the economic development department. So we're really undermining our state with these cuts that, you know, Cotter says we have a spending problem on. Meanwhile, we're reporting in the same week that we're growing. It's a source of revenue for our state. So we need to be investing in these areas, strengthening, and I'm really proud of my work to help create the national monument that's protected the Oregon Mountains. We've seen an increase in visitation at 30% over the last 2 years since protection. I also passed a bill to plan and create a trail, a recreational trail called the Rio Grande Trail from Texas down to Colorado down to Texas. Trails can bring, you know, millions in economic development. So I believe we need to strengthen our economy and grow our revenue by strengthening those economies. And certainly we have all those opportunities here in Doñana County, and I've been involved in many of them.
You know, obviously this is a big issue. Revenue as well as economic development. But I do want to give you a chance to respond to the other thing in that interview, which is the death penalty bills that had come up.
So, you know, it's unfortunate that Senator Cotter isn't sitting here next to me to actually debate and talk about issues, just in the same way he would not do the televised debate that the League of Women Voters and your organization has put on. But anyway, having said that, you know, the death penalty is it's a very emotional issue. We've had some heinous crimes committed in the state. Cotter incorrectly said we had no crime before we eliminated the death penalty. That's actually inaccurate. Death penalty, unfortunately, has proven to not be a deterrent where it exists, just in the same way, unfortunately, that the police officer that, you know, was murdered in Hatch, allegedly was murdered by someone who was being wanted for killing people in Ohio where they have the death penalty. And so, you know, I'm proud to make some news here on your program that I was just endorsed by the Las Cruces Police Officers Association. In fact, I just got a text as I was sitting down here. I have been a very strong supporter of police, our first responders, of public safety. Several years ago, when I worked for Senator Bingham, and I started the Southwest New Mexico Border Security Task Force. I take security very seriously, and you know, including our laws in the state of New Mexico, and we have strengthened. When the state of New Mexico abolished the death penalty, we replaced it with life in prison without parole, and we just sentenced someone to life in prison without parole. That means the public and the families affected know exactly where the offender is going to be for the rest of their life, and you know, we have gotten tougher on DWI and other crimes and predators, child predators, but we need to, any opportunity we have to strengthen crimes and strengthen penalties in meaningful ways, we do so, and I do so. And, you know, the death penalty legislation and the way it was brought up in the midst of a historic session dealing with our deficit, most people know that that reeked of politics. And then they brought the bill up after midnight without notice so the public couldn't participate. We literally debated that bill in the middle of the night while New Mexico slept. So, you know, the political mailers, including one from Cotter, was already in the mail. So it was really done and wasted taxpayer money because they knew that the bill wasn't going to pass during the special session. So it was really just a distraction on the state of our economy and the fiscal crisis that gripped New Mexico. And unfortunately, we had to pay for it. Really, the governor and Lee Cotter should have paid for that spending out of their campaign budgets, because that's what it was. It was a campaign stunt.
Okay, great. That number again to call is 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. We are also on Facebook and Twitter. And, you know, you mentioned that that was done in the middle of the night. You're currently serving in the House of Representatives. This brings up another, maybe a little bit smaller of an issue, that the meetings are not archived online for people to go back and view. You know, would you support an archival service for the legislative meetings?
Well, yes, I would. And it's I appreciate you bringing that up. You may not know that I passed the rule change not only to webcast the meetings of the New Mexico legislature, which got passed, and now that's why we webcast, but this last legislative session, I successfully, after 3 years of trying, got the House of Representatives to pass a rule change where we're going to now start archiving our broadcast. So this next legislative session, the House will be archiving there are webcasts of all the committee meetings for 5 years, and hopefully the Senate will follow suit, and I will certainly, if not, be introducing a rule change day one of serving in the Senate to call for that, as well as our floor sessions. And so I've been on the forefront of archiving and webcasting. In fact, if I could just brag a little bit, I'm very proud that 2 years ago, the New Mexico Foundation for Open Government, which is our open government organizations in the media in the state, gave me their highest award called the First Amendment Freedom Award for fighting for greater transparency, not just of the legislature, but of all lobbying activity in the state of New Mexico, which is something that we need much more transparency on, and another issue that Senator Cotter and I do not agree.
Okay, we are talking to Jeff Steinborn, the Democratic candidate for New Mexico Senate District 36, and we have a caller, Randy. You are on the line. Randy, you have a question?
Yes, please. Hi, Jeff. Thank you for showing up.
You got it, Randy. Thank you.
Good. I wonder if, in all these budget considerations, the notion that a budget can be considered a moral document, in other words, a reflection of our ethics and priorities, and that when we choose to cut health care, medical services, education, mental health care, and maintain, increase or maintain subsidies for corporations, et cetera, does that question ever come up, that what we're doing reflects, our principles as opposed to just, line items?
Yes, great question, Randy. Absolutely. The budget, especially during hard times when you have to decide, do we cut education? Do we cut health care? Do we cut senior centers and Meals on Wheels like Senator Cotter and others did this last session? You ask yourself, is that the right thing to do, as opposed to maybe looking at some tax breaks by people who didn't create any jobs who happen to have a good lobbyist? And it is absolutely a moral question, but it's, of course, first and foremost, a policy question. If we don't educate our kids, if we don't work to help, give young mothers and families a good start in life, or, make sure our public defender and our district attorneys have funding, then are we producing a successful society? I mean, we started off this conversation talking about revenue. What I've seen is that when we don't invest in our state, in people, in growing a successful community and society, then guess what? We end up with more higher dropout rate, higher poverty, more people going to prison, young people leaving the state because we haven't intelligently grown our economic development. So it's just good business for our state to invest in people. And it's not, this whole notion of trickle-down economics, I think, is a debunk way largely of looking at how we grow our economy and how we grow our society. So it's not only good morality, Randy, as far as the kind of society we want to be. Of course, two people can answer that question differently, but it's actually smart business in how we grow a successful state and successful kids and ultimately grow our tax base, too.
Okay, that number to call in again is 575-646-2212, and Jeff Steinborn is taking your questions. We have another question from George. George, you have a question?
Yes, I do. I've heard the candidate talk about supporting the police and life without parole in prison, but I think we can support the police without being hell on the prison population. Prison reform is very important today. Prisons are costing so much money for prisoners, for drug offenses and whatnot. What ideas does he have on prison reform?
Great question. I agree with you totally. I think certainly when we look at nonviolent drug offenses like marijuana, you know, we should absolutely be looking at decriminalization and at a minimum, you know. So it is costing our state a huge amount of money. We pay over $30,000 a year to incarcerate an inmate. Then when they become a felony, they then can't get jobs. They're trapped for the rest of their life with a scarlet letter. And, you know, it needs to be proportionate relative to the crime and the public safety risk. And really, in the case of a lot of drug offenses, you're really dealing with a mental health issue. And are we spending our money the right way? And so I absolutely support criminal justice reform in a variety of ways. And I will tell you, it's been really interesting. The last 2 years I've sat on the Budget Committee, the Appropriations Committee. So I've seen that, you know, $5 billion plus budget, and I've been a part of creating it. And, you know, every year the Correction Secretary, including in the last special session, continue to appear before us and ask for extra $10 million, $15 million more than was in the budget, because we are growing our prison population while we are simultaneously cutting education. Think about that for a moment. And if that doesn't make you philosophical about what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong, and in the in the context of this crime legislation as well, nothing will. And so, yeah, we need criminal justice reform. And again, it's just not only the right thing to do, but in terms of our budget, and by the way, in terms of our prisons, we have the highest recidivism rate of people going back to prison of any state in our region, which is really fascinating. So while we're spending more and more money on locking people up, we're actually not spending an appropriate amount on rehabilitation that that can get people into more productive lives when they get out of jail. And so consequently, we have a higher recidivism rate. That doesn't make sense either.
Okay, if you've got a question for Jeff Steinborn, the number to call is 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. And, you know, you mentioned marijuana, and that brings up, you know, recently in Colorado, they legalized it, and they've been getting some budget revenue. So it's become a question here on whether or not to put it on the ballot in New Mexico, legalization of marijuana. Would you support putting that on the ballot for the voters to decide?
Well, the devil's always in the details, and, you know, we have some experiences now. We're starting to get data from other states of what they've done, how they've done it, maybe where they've had problems. So anytime you're asked on a piece of legislation, you know, you want to see the specifics, but I think it's a very intriguing proposal that I probably will get a vote on, and I'm probably inclined to be supportive. So I want to see more details. And you know, if New Mexico is going to do something like that, then we need to go in with eyes wide open and make sure we're prepared and resourcing the public health needs that result from that and education, and make sure that we're also being smart about how we would target some of those revenues. So it's not a free-for-all in the sense that we're maybe not investing that, the opportunity that flows from that economically. But, you know, I think it's kind of inevitable. And New Mexico should get very serious about considering that proposal.
Okay, the number to call to ask questions for Jeff Steinborn is 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. You can also ask questions online on Facebook and Twitter. Simon Thompson is at our social media desk ready to answer those. You know, another thing that you brought up a little bit there is mental health care. And, you know, that's been a big issue down here in Las Cruces, is health care access. You know, where do you think we stand with that issue?
We need to do better. I mean, in New Mexico, you know, we struggle. I think our state struggles with mental illness and behavioral health on a greater proportion because we're, as a whole, such a large rural state with a lot of isolation, a lot of poverty. And, you know, this produces people who are struggling more. And and so, you know, our spending per capita per citizen is it's an area of great need, let's just put it that way, in our state. What happened last year with the governor and the takeover of the mental health provider system was absolutely reckless and did a lot of damage to patients who are receiving behavioral health in this community. Their providers got changed on them, and we know, and I've been in committees where we've asked our providers here, how many people used to get services that basically you don't see anymore? We know in this community we've lost perhaps as many as thousands of people who were receiving treatment prior to that shakeup that fell through the cracks. And I would ask, well, what are we doing to get in contact with these individuals to make sure they're getting treatment? So we need to, in my opinion, every few years in New Mexico, we tend to shake up our behavioral health system. We change providers, we change the system. We really need to create stability and grow our services. Again, back to where this interview started. Cotter says, we have a spending problem. Well, I would say we're not spending enough on behavioral health. But you can't pay for those services with monopoly money. You have to prioritize that and fund it. And again, I think if we do so, we just get those dividends back in a healthier society. So I'd like to see more funding go towards behavioral health and continue to, you know, including, I should say, in our crisis diversion program for the county that we got funding for to build this facility as a diversion for people that end up in the criminal justice system who are having a mental health crisis. We need to get that facility. It's literally still not being operated. We need to get that operational, and that's something at a local level that would be very beneficial to our community.
Okay, we are talking to Jeff Steinmore, the Democratic candidate for New Mexico Senate District 36, and we have a caller. Mel, you have a question?
Yes, my name is Mel, and I'm a resident of Doniana County. And I have a question on DUI. DUI has now become a big business for the state of New Mexico. You have two portions to it. One is a criminal complaint, and the other one is a civil complaint. And during their process, since driving in the state of New Mexico is a privilege, not a right, you have a tribunal coming forth first with the hearing officer with the state of New Mexico, the attorney, the defendant, and then the police officers involved in the case. The question I have is this. In the event that all of this takes place and a person has not been charged with DUI for lack of evidence or whatever, what is the remedy regarding the civil portion of it where they're basically judged at fault, correct? Or they're charged at fault without having to go to trial, and there's an issue with that. But that being the case, why, if DUI is such a horrendous crime, why don't the state of New Mexico just stop selling liquor?
Well, that's an interesting proposition. Mel, appreciate you calling with your question. I'm not sure which part of that you want me to answer. You know, again, it's kind of like other things. You know, if you do too much of a lot of things, you could end up in a bad medical situation, whether it's liquor or whether you drink too much soda or eat too much candy or, you know, so I'm not really partial to limiting people's opportunities. But as far as the enforcement aspect goes, your question was a little bit confusing. So perhaps you can send it to me in an email and I could kind of evaluate it and get back to you, Mel, if that's all right. I have a website, jeffsteinborn.com, for anyone listening. And you can send me an email at jeff@jeffsteinborn and I can maybe get back to you on a case-by-case basis for something I need to do more research on, like what you brought up.
Okay, great. And we are going to Simon Thompson on our social media desk, who has a question from Twitter.
So Stephen in Las Cruces wants to ask, is there any growth for the film industry in terms of funds and any new developments in the New Mexico film industry?
New Mexico film industry is growing. It was just reported a couple months ago that we had almost $100 million increase in the direct spending from the film industry in the state of New Mexico than fiscal year 2015. Our fiscal year 2016, which ended June 30th of this year, our fiscal year goes from July 1st to June 30th of the next year, the film industry spent almost just shy of $400 million in direct spending. And once that money gets recirculated in the economy, that's literally a $1 billion impact in our state. It was a record for our state. Like I said, almost $100 million increase from the year before. That was $288 million. So we're seeing more and more TV shows, more and more films. It's just staggering the amount of A-list productions that have come to New Mexico in the last year. Everything from, of course, Better Call Saul, Independence Day 3, Superman, Batman, Graves, a show with Nick Nolte that's, you know, being talked about now, where he plays a former president who's trying to get some redemption. That's being filmed in Santa Fe. And so New Mexico film industry is growing. And we've amended our film incentives in the state to really kind of attract more TV shows, which are desirable because they film for longer periods of time and then they keep coming back year after year. So we have all these TV shows that are filming here now, in addition to feature films. There are a handful of very significant feature films that are either filming here right now or about to start filming. So New Mexico is booming. And it's really time Las Cruces get in on this. We're the second biggest city in the state, with unique locations, with thousands of hotel rooms and a robust service sector. And this is why I've taken the leadership role the last 3 years to form a group called Film Las Cruces. We have a great website. You can check it out, filmlascruces.com, where we're trying to kind of put all these pieces together and do a much better job of marketing our region to the film industry, and also training our workforce, which... you know, these are great high-wage jobs that work in the film industry. And so anyway, it is a great opportunity for us, and there's some data for you.
Okay, and we've got a couple calls holding. Steven is up first. Steven, you have a question for Jeff Steinmore.
Yes, I do. First of all, good afternoon, Jeff. How are you?
Good. Good afternoon, Steven.
All right. Well, I have a couple of questions. I try to say them quickly. What is our state legislature and executive branch doing concerning diversification of state revenue and less reliance on severance tax, oil, natural gas, etc.? I am a retired teacher, and the devastation of public schools in New Mexico, all 89 districts, has just been horrendous. That's my first question. So the second question is, with the Republicans looking so very, very bad nationally, how might this affect the next New Mexico elections, specifically the dominance of Republicans in the House of Representatives?
Okay, good question. So your first question, what are we doing to diversify the economy? We talked about this a little bit. You know, certainly we are investing in a state. It's kind of, we're working at cross purposes to some extent, which I talked about a little earlier. But some of the things that we're doing is we are investing, you know, the solar industry. Some of us are investing in growing the solar industry. We certainly worked on that as a state. And the Republicans, including Lee Cotter, voted to actually roll back incentives that attract solar production. So, but that is an industry that's growing in the state. You know, film and media is an area that's growing. Certainly we've invested in our manufacturing, logistics hub that we have here in Southern Doñana County and Santa Teresa, the border. New Mexico, what's so interesting about economic development in our state is because we're so spread out and many of our communities are small, what creates a job in one town isn't necessarily what creates a job in another town. And this is why it's so important that we kind of support regional opportunities, like we've talked a lot about what are opportunities in Doñana County, that we're strengthening those opportunities that exist all around the state. Then you have some big industries that work all over the state, like tourism, like developing and protecting our natural resources and promoting tourism, investing in state parks. You know, just the visitation of our state parks is booming, and yet people never really seem to appreciate that and invest in that as an asset. But I would take a step back to kind of tie into what you said about the cutting of education, that the ultimate economic development strategy for our state is investing in education, and it's producing smart, educated kids who are learning with modern technology, who are connected to the internet, and we're providing vocational opportunities. And so that is the ultimate economic development strategy to diversify and grow our economy, is not only investing in education, but then we must figure out more strategic approaches to keeping our kids here, not only getting them to go to college, those that are able and want to, but keeping them here when they graduate. It's one of our biggest exports is young people who move out of the state. So we have a failed narrative about who we are, and that we're a place that kids want to stick around when they graduate. We need to really work on it and attack this problem, and that will also grow our entrepreneurial base and grow our creative economy. We got to stop cutting education. We have to deal with it on the revenue side of it. We have cut New Mexico to the bone. Anyone who tells you otherwise isn't fit for our moment that we're facing right now in this state. To your other question about the Republican situation this election, it's hard to say, right? This is an election. We've all been proven wrong on so many things. People just need to get out and vote. It's such a crucial time in our state for our country. Get out and vote, and hopefully people that are willing to make good decisions to move this state forward get elected. And it'll become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Just get out and vote.
Okay, great. We have another phone call. We have Peter on the phone, and the number to call is 575-646-2212. Peter, you have a question?
Yes, Jeff. You mentioned a hit piece by your opponent. What is your position on dark money in campaign finance reporting, and campaign finance limits, and how does that differ, or is it the same as your opponent? Thank you.
Well, you know, transparency, first of all, is a huge issue. People need to see who is funding political activity, and I support it. I had a bill that I passed that got signed into law to require greater reporting of lobbyist activity. Cotter voted against it. I've released a list of all the projects I fund in the legislature. Cotter has kept those secret, millions of dollars of projects. So transparency, first of all, in campaigns and in governance is super important, so people can see what we're doing and make sure we're working for the community. In terms of dark money, you know, a lot of people know, some people may not, the Supreme Court passed a ruling several years ago called Citizens United that basically allowed corporations to spend unlimited amounts of money in elections. Now, back in 2009, I was one of the authors of a new law in New Mexico that established campaign contribution limits, because we had no limits in New Mexico elections, and we saw regularly big corporate players, sometimes wealthy out of town, literally oil men, would spend $25,000 on a given New Mexico race, if you can imagine. How is that fair? So we fought and we got campaign contribution limits, which was a great thing. Well, literally, little did we know that a year or two later, the Supreme Court would pass this ruling, Citizens United, that allowed unlimited dark money to be able to come in and try to tip the balance of scales in our democracy. I'm totally against it. We need to elect a president that will appoint Supreme Court justices that will get rid of Citizens United, overturn it, and once again tip democracy back to our communities and citizens and away from wealthy special interests. And I'm for full reporting of all campaign funding and donors so that we do see who is influencing our elections, and people can then make choices accordingly.
Okay, we have another question on Twitter. We're going to Simon Thompson on our social media desk.
So Lucas in Las Cruces wants to know, how would Steinborn work with the House if it remains in Republican control after the election? He's done well working across lines as a representative.
Well, I mean, of course, good question, Lucas. And, you know, I hope to become a state senator. And, you know, my first priority when I'm in Santa Fe, and hopefully as a state senator, is to get good policy for the state of New Mexico. And I'm always hopeful that everyone, no matter what party they are always going to put that first, you know? And so if the House stays Republican and we get beyond this election and, you know, we can work together on good policy, great. Where there's bad policy, I'll fight it. I don't care who's sponsoring it, if it's a Republican or a Democrat. So that's it. No matter who's in office, I'm going to work towards greater transparency, better economic development, you know, budget stability, and hopefully we can reach consensus about good policy. It's so important, no matter who's in office.
You know, something that's come up recently along the lines of campaign finance reform is the idea of paying state legislators. How do you feel about a salary for state legislators?
Well, a few years ago, when I was first elected, I got appointed to Governor Richardson's Ethics Task Force. He had an ethics task force, and we looked at a variety of proposals, including this one. Some of the proposals for legislators were also, you know, giving funding for staff, which we have no staff, increasing funding so that we could have some resources to mail our constituents. And, you know, as far as the salary, you know, I'm not, I don't really have a position on that. I'm not sure that that's the way to go. But a lot of elected officials don't have, you know, what we need to make sure of is that in the state of New Mexico, we have a level playing field where anybody can afford to serve in our government. And I think that's where people are coming from that support that is, you know, making sure that, you know, you can afford to serve if you're not wealthy, retired, or in my case, work for an organization that gives you off a month or 2 months a year to be able to go serve, in which time I go off the clock with my organization. So it's we need to look at that compensation issue, but also with the other issues that have been talked about, like are we giving enough staff, or are we giving enough resources for a representative to effectively communicate with their constituents? Right now, literally there is no budget to communicate with my constituents. So anything I do it out of whatever funds I could raise. And is that what we want also? So we need to look at the whole thing.
Do you think that's a level playing field for the people who are able to run for office?
What do you mean?
For the people who can't take off to go. Do you think that that is an issue that the legislature has facing?
I think there are some people that probably cannot afford to run for office because their job doesn't allow that flexibility. So, but then you have to ask yourself, okay, if you allowed a little compensation, would that really substitute their regular day job if they couldn't have that job? So it's not a silver bullet, but we need to look at it.
Okay, I believe we have another caller. John is on the line. John, you have a question.
Yeah, I do. First, Jeff, I'd like to say thank you for making yourself available today. I have a couple of questions on topics that had been discussed earlier. The first would be on the mental health issue. One of the things we know for a fact is that nationwide there's a huge shortage of nursing and doctors. And I think in New Mexico, because we're considered a little bit more rural, there's even more of a shortage. Is there any thought, or has there been any thought for doing anything to attract doctors, psychiatrists, nurses that work with the mental health community, such as maybe tuition reimbursement or tuition assistance or anything like that? And then the other question was back to the medical marijuana. We moved here from Colorado, and we moved here before they went to the legalization thing. And we wanted to move back a couple of years ago, but as it turns out, we can't afford to move back because the housing market has boomed. Now, I have a brother-in-law that works in the construction industry, and he said because of that legalization, so many people have moved there, it's created huge numbers of jobs in the construction industry. So has there been any thought to what other benefits would be if New Mexico did do that? I mean, would it create jobs? Have we looked at that?
So two questions, good questions. And John, thanks for calling in. I want to address your first question, which is, are we doing anything to attract medical providers? We need to. This is our community in Doñana County and our state is considered underserved for a lot of medical professionals that we need. The most effective recruitment tool we have for doctors in our state is loan forgiveness for their schooling. And again, it's limited by resources. That thing that Lee Cotter says, we already give too much out. We need to cut more resources. But the reality is that loan forgiveness is our number one tool for recruiting physicians. And you know, nursing is a hugely important part of the whole continuum of healthcare. And expanding those programs would be a very good thing. And frankly, not just for people in the medical profession, but back to what I was saying earlier about helping people go to college, helping them stay here when they graduate. I think we need to look at new strategies of college affordability and then attaching that to residency in the state after you get that health care. So just the strategies, and but the health care part of it's super important. You'd asked about the marijuana and legalization and the economic benefits. Yeah, that's the story coming out of Colorado. It's producing a lot of revenue, a lot of economic activity, and clearly, you know, if New Mexico were to legalize it, we would see big revenue from it. There's no question about it. That's what the data is showing.
Okay, we have about 10 minutes left. If you want to get in your last couple of questions, that number is 575-646-2212. That's 575-646-2212. And we have a question from Randy. Randy, are you there?
Yes, hi. Quick question, Jeff. There's been some dialogue in the community lately about public financing for local campaigns. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that.
It's interesting. Yeah, I definitely supported the council having the discussion about it. I think public financing of elections is attractive in the sense that, you know, again, it's what we were talking about just a minute ago about leveling the playing field so people can participate in our democracy. So it's not just the insiders and people with, you know, wealthy connections, no matter what side of the political they are, they're on, to be able to finance these elections. So, you know, publicly financing them gives any Joe, you know, on the street the chance to, hey, I could run. I could, if I go through these hoops, I can get some resources to run. You know, what I advocated for when this proposal came up is let's look at some other states. Let's look at the results that they've had in their democracy. Did it, in fact, produce a more of a citizen government, you know, that came out of that? So, you know, I've seen it in elections here in Las Cruces. The person with more money didn't always win the election. You know, at the end of the day, it's still about shoe leather and grassroots and talking to people, you know. So does it get you where you want to go? But generally speaking, I support the idea of public financing. When you construct a new system like it's being talked about in Las Cruces, we just need to look at other models, how it's being done. Did it get you the right results? So we're doing it very deliberately and with a good plan. So I'd want to see the details.
You know, some of the other issues that have been brought up in the legislature recently have had to do with education and specifically funding for early childhood education. How do you feel about funding universal early childhood education?
Totally support it. And we've talked about increasing the distribution of our endowment funds, basically in the state, our land grant funds. And I support it because, you know, the amount of kids that are eligible for these services are not getting them. We know so much research is out about brain development of young children. And if, you know, if they're hungry or if, you know, it just the importance of getting them off to a good start in their life and how if we don't do that successfully, do they end up dropping out later? Do they end up in the justice system, right? And then we end up incarcerating someone years down the road who just kind of didn't have a lot of opportunities, ended up getting into trouble. So starting off right in life and investing in New Mexico kids, I think, is a great investment for us. And I support finding the revenue to make that happen. And that's the proposal that we have gotten behind that, unfortunately, the other side has opposed.
Okay, and we have one last phone call, probably, and Brandy is on the phone. Brandy, you have a question?
Yes, I do. Yes. Am I?
Yes, you're on. You can go ahead and ask a question.
Okay. I first want to thank you, Jeff Steinborn. Okay, am I online?
Yep, go ahead, ask your question.
Okay. I just want to first thank you, Jeff, for having a common sense and thoughtful approach to developing our economic development in the state of New Mexico, and particularly Donna Anna. I wanted to ask you what you envision for our area, Donna Anna, in producing more sustainable practices like watershed practices and permaculture investments.
Thank you, Brandy. For a second, when I heard Brandy, I thought Randy was taking a third bite of the apple and has just changed his name on us. But no, I love you, Randy. Brandy, so we have to be sustainable, particularly with our water resources. So in terms of water, which is such a huge issue to people, conservation, number one, we need to, as a state, accelerate our adjudication of understanding who owns the water in our state, because we cannot keep growing our water use before we even know how much water we have or who owns it. And believe it or not, that's what we're doing. So we need to accelerate adjudication. Number two, we need to look at best practices in conservation of water all across the spectrum, whether it's industrial, residential. We need to be much more thoughtful as a state about our policies about using water more efficiently. Number three, in terms of our economic development, we need to strategically invest in economic development strategies that are friendly on the environment, are friendly on our water resources. This is where tourism is great. The film industry is great. Recreation, investing in our public lands like the Oregon Mountain Desert Peaks in a sustainable economic resource, solar energy. You're taking advantage of these public resources that aren't costing you money and, you know, aren't using a lot of water. And so you're using what's there. So I think anything we can do to invest in sustainable economic development, which is the word you use, is so important. Sustainable economic, and ones that don't tax our resources, is smart for us, and it's what we should be doing, and something that I've been involved in pushing in the legislature, which is getting us to look at best practices on water conservation and usage in the state of New Mexico.
Okay, and we have just a couple minutes left, but we have one last question from social media, and we are going to Simon Thompson.
So Wyatt over Twitter in Las Cruces says, can you ask Jeff to say something nice about his opponent?
Really? Okay. Something nice about my opponent. Well, you know what? I mean, you know, Lee's an awshucks kind of a dude who you wouldn't mind having a beer with just to kind of crack up. Sometimes, this is really not about being bad people. It's just about having very serious fundamental differences. So, you know, how's that? Does that work for you? I wouldn't mind having a beer with Lee when this whole thing's over.
Okay, great. You know, we have just about 2 minutes left. If you want to give yourself a chance to wrap up and
Sure. Maybe
talk a little bit about, you know, why it is you are running.
First of all, thanks so much for doing the interview. I love how many people are listening and involved. This has been great. And it's disappointing to me that the other guy didn't want to do this. But I am running for the Senate to continue to serve the state. I think... what attracted me to it was just having a little bit bigger pedestal to be able to fight for the issues that I've been working towards, whether it's helping our veterans and military or greater transparency or, you know, smart economic development policy. Being a senator, being elected to a 4-year term, I think gives me a little bit bigger visibility to be effective for us. And so I decided to put it all on the line and leave the House and go for this position. And that is why I'm doing this. If you live in my district, again, from Idaho all the way up to the Sierra County line, I definitely ask for your vote. And let's work together to continue to make New Mexico a better place and invest in our kids and our future.
And what's the best place for someone to get in contact with you?
Sure. Go to my website, jeffsteinborn.com, and there you can volunteer, you can donate, you can send me an email if you have a question. Like Mel had earlier, feel free to send me a note and let's get the dialogue going offline.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for joining us. This is the Democratic candidate for New Mexico Senate District 36, Jeff Steinborn. I'm Samantha Sonner, and thanks for joining us for Voice of the Public.
It's 2:00. I'm Leora Zeitlin. Great show, everybody. And now we move to music for the next couple of hours. I've got some interesting music planned, including a recent CD featuring pianist Orly Shaham and a work she commissioned called Stumble to Grace, which both she and the composer, Stephen Mackey, were about to become parents and then were sort of have been raising their children in close proximity in Manhattan. And this piece was inspired by both the children and a sense of what it means actually to be an American. It's from a CD called American Grace. We also will explore a different nationalism with some music by Frank Martin, a Swiss composer. We've got a Mozart flute quartet coming up and much more. So stay with me on 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces, KRXG Silver City.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. GOP presidential hopeful Donald Trump came out swinging at a rally in West Palm Beach, Florida earlier today, strongly rejecting multiple allegations from women of aggressive and unwanted sexual advances in years past. NPR's